something happen in Millville by that day.
That night.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I have a few items on my agenda this morning. The first is in regards to our proposed private road standard details. If you recall, I appeared before the council about June 15th of this year, and we had presented the new standards. At that time, it was requested that we make them available for public comment. So what we did was we posted them on the county website. In support of that, we sent a letter to what we consider our 25 top engineering firms, as far as firms submitting plans to us, as well as what we consider our 25 top development companies, basically saying we're looking at these new standards. They're available on the county website. We gave them a link. You go to the website, and you look them over, and you provide some comments back to us. We posted those. We had them posted by about June 20th, I'll say. We left the comment period open until July 31st, and surprisingly, we got a ho-hum response. I actually thought we'd receive a lot of feedback, but we only received comments back from two engineering firms. So what I've done is I provided a small packet, and I do have copies of the entire packet if anybody wishes to have it, but I thought just for sake of discussion, I could go over the comments that we received and how we address those.
And Mike, in your presentation, if you don't mind.
Yes.
I know we got, on our side, we got the yellow marker side. I mean, can you tell us what the difference between...
Yes, that's what I plan on doing.
Are you planning?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
First comment was received from Sally Ford of Land Design, Tom Ford's wife. Their team, they work together, submit a lot of plans to us. One of the comments that Sally submitted, and we agreed with it. If you look at the section that I highlighted, we are proposing three different types of street sections. However, in the allowable grade, we had a minimum of 0.5%, and that's sort of a national standard. But being as we're flatter than most places, routinely we have permitted designs down to 0.1%. So that was a change that Sally proposed, and we agreed with that. So we have made the change from the minimum grade of a street from 0.5% down to 0.1%. And basically, if you had a 100-foot section, you would see a drop of about a tenth of a foot, enough to allow stormwater to move along, but also kind of in keeping with the flatness of the terrain, so we don't have excessive cut in the area. Okay. The second highlight is in our Type 1 street. If you look at the Type 3 and the Type 2 streets, you'll see we're proposing 3 inches of Type B hot mix and then 1.5 inches of Type C in the Type 3. In the Type 2 street, we have 2.5 inches of Type B, 1.5 inches of Type C. But when you get up to Type 1, we have 1.75 inches of Type C and a top layer of 1.25 of Type C. Routinely, when we've done layered streets in the past, you have a layer of B mix, which is a coarser base mix, and then you have Type C on top. But when you get to these thinner layers, I'd say within the last 5 to 7 years, Del Dots adopted a new pavement mix. They call it Super Pave. And really for the B, once you get below 2.25 inches, it's not really the aggregate's too thick. So you don't get a quality pavement layer below 2.25 inches. So it is a little bit odd to see the Type C over top of Type C, but in this case, due to the thinness of the layers, it's appropriate. So
that you're leaving that.
We're going to leave that one because it's just a better pavement layer.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't quite understand it, but okay.
That's fine. I just wanted to give you the pros and cons. Next page, one thing that we're adopting, if you look at these T turnarounds, and there's actually four different types, but they're all very similar. We are actually proposing to use these, and you could still use a cul-de-sac, But where these used to be only considered to be a temporary measure, we're proposing that these could be used as a permanent measure, and it's supported by both the development community, design engineers, and even the fire marshal. One obvious benefit is you have less impervious area. You have less hot mix, too, so it's more efficient to construct. The only thing is, due to their previous history as being a temporary measure, most of the details you'll see have a barricade because a lot of times the street was still graded beyond it, so people would put up a barricade just kind of like to give somebody traveling down the street notice that, you know, the road stops at this point. But since it's being more adopted as a more of a permanent measure, and most likely there's going to be a house at the end and landscaping and the like, that's not really likely to happen. So we don't think we need the barricades as a permanent means, but we have had a couple of occasions where they've been adjacent to either an existing pond or next to a constructed stormwater management pond. So basically, just to keep things simple, we put note number 3 that barricades are not necessary unless an apparent safety hazard exists, like a deep pond at the end of the street.
But you'll determine that during your...
during the design process.
Right, you're not going to come back a year from now, somebody says, we have a problem, we can't make them put them in later, right?
Right. I think, 99% of the time you're not going to need the barricade, but there have been a few instances that they are required. And then the final...
Is this, like a concrete, steel, something, have something to stop, or is it like a berm?
If you look at the DelDOT standard, it's basically salt-treated post, and then it'll have something like a 4x4 with like a black and white stripe across it. But frankly, in a lot of cases, we've put something that's a little bit more aesthetically pleasing than that.
Okay.
So again, I think we would deal with it. I'd prefer to deal with it on a case by case basis relative to the setting of the development.
Okay.
And then the final comment, once again, this was a land design. This is for planting of trees adjacent to the right of way. We had met with the state forester and got feedback about native species, very similar to the comments you got for the agricultural buffer plantings. And we had proposed these. And one thing that Sally was concerned about is some of these trees have a lower crown, and it could inhibit, say a taller truck as it goes down the road. So again, we just adding a little bit of flexibility, we added the note that this list is not all-inclusive and should only be used as a guide for planting street trees. Other species may be specified to accommodate the physical setting of the project. So again, just providing flexibility for the designers to pick out the type of tree that they would like to have. And then the final comment, this came from Kircher Engineering. In representing their clients, their first question, and it's an obvious one, is when do these standards go into effect? We presented it on June 15th, so as applications came through post that, we made comments that there are new standards pending, so any of those applications, and there probably hasn't been a lot, but there's been a few, that new standards are pending. And I think what I'm looking for is directive from the council. Well, first, assuming you adopt them.
Is a suggestion that we should go back to June 15th, or would you be comfortable?
I wouldn't do that. A round date of July 1st would be, if you're going to go back retroactive July 1st, or today, or, again, I think this is a decision I need from.
It's always been our policy. I don't think you can go back if they've already submitted.
Right.
To the county, if you've got a plan now that you've got that's they've paid the filing fees
right.
And everything, I don't think it's fair to go back and make them revise their plan. I think that from today forward, you should accept that if this is passed today.
I think that's
reasonable. You've got to file,
as well.
You got your office that's got the filing fee with it should be under the old standards, and this would be the new.
We were just faced with a decision not knowing what directive we would get from the council that we felt like we had to put them on notice that it's possible that they could be in effect for those projects. But again, you provide us, the date that you want. If it's today,
on the other hand,
we
probably got some that have that have got something ready to turn in.
Right.
And they've got the old standards. I don't know how much problems that's going to create, but I don't have a problem if you won't make it 30 days from now, 60 days from now, or January the 1st, but I don't think you can go back and make them that you that already paid the filing fee.
Why couldn't you do it starting today? Any applications filed after or September 1st or something, you know? I mean, why do you, we don't have to wait September. He's just saying there's a concern with something, but he's already filed an application. We're talking about people right. who have not filed any applications. So if this
If they've already got their engineering done to the old standards, I don't know how much change that's going to make to have to redesign it.
Maybe we could ask Mike, I mean, like, what we're doing today, for lack of better words, versus what we could do tomorrow, what is the real...
Well, the real key is, one, you're going to see a thicker layer of hot mix.
The roads will still be in the same place. All the streets will be the
same.
Well,
some of the right-of-ways are changed because we're seeing denser development, and this was agreed throughout the community, too, I think. Because we're seeing denser development, we're seeing more on-street parking. So in some of the cases where there are curbs constructed, there's a wider pavement section to accommodate on-street parking. So that I would say those are the two significant changes that you're seeing. Thicker layer of hot mix and thicker layer of base as well. And then also
our base was kind of worn like 6 inches, wasn't it always?
When I first started, we had 6 inches of select
right.
and generally 3 inches of tar and chip.
Right.
eventually that got converted to 2 inches of hot mix, although our ordinance up to this point still allowed tar and chip, but basically you just don't see it anymore. There's no structural value to tar and chip, and hot mix you do get structural value. So we're now at 4 inches of crush run and 2 inches of hot mix being, you know, if you're going to say a standard, 99 times out of 100, that's the design cross-section we've been seeing today.
That's our Sussex County standard.
Yeah. And this will get the state off our backs with that legislation you were talking about? Anybody got any comments on that?
Sure.
Should?
Someone's got something interesting.
Okay, we've communicated with those guys up there. Okay. I'll make a motion we make it January 1st, 2009.
Second.
After he went through all that, you don't want to do it today.
We got to read the motion, huh?
After he went through all that,
Mike,
I don't want to do it today.
About the 5-foot wide sidewalk.
You brought that up, and I didn't include it, and I probably should have put it in here. When you brought that up in June, we went ahead and made that change in what we posted. You had asked about asphalt sidewalks. So the way that they were posted on the internet, we allowed both asphalt sidewalks and concrete sidewalks. And then we also allowed for the provision of a narrower sidewalk with the architectural accessory board's requirement that there be a 5-foot platform for wheelchairs to turn around, and I believe it's every 200 feet or 150 feet. We incorporated, yes,
okay.
Yes, that option was.
Beaver Dam out here on Route 9, I think they have asphalt sidewalks, which are certainly probably cheaper to put down.
Yeah, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, somebody must read the motion, I believe, first, and then we can plug in the date of January.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. I appreciate that.
I had a proposed motion, and I can just plug in a date.
Yeah, plug in the numbers.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council, adopts the private road standard details as proposed by the engineering department and directs that the new standards become effective on January 1, 2009 for all land use applications containing privately owned roads.
Okay, so moving to seconding, Mr. Cole.
I'll move, yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Duke?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
My vote is yes also. Mike, thanks for certainly going through. I know it took some time. You're trying to soothe the beast, for lack of a better word.
I wasn't sure we could get it done under the time frame we were allotted, but it worked out pretty well, actually.
Yep, I think so, too. Thank you.
Who made the second, please?
I did.
Thank you, Bert. Mr. Dukes? Mr. Cole made the motion.
Okay, my next item is a proposed contract amendment.